I'd like for us to turn to Psalm 111. Here, just a few months ago, a brother that I knew down in Union Hope, Rex Carter, he died, and we had his funeral. And this was one of his favorite psalms. And I've always regretted that I can't really tell you what happened. And I know there was a little mix-up, and he had wanted Psalm 111 read at his funeral. Mike Moody and myself had the funeral, and I thought Mike was going to read it. He didn't. And I had spoken first, and so that was the end of it. But later I began to read the psalm, and I talked a little with his wife about it and his sister-in-law. And it did. It had a ring to it that I recall times that he said things about certain passages of Scripture, and you may have had that same experience. Some passage of Scripture that it was just a certain ring to it or something about it that caught your attention and you particularly liked. So I want to read this psalm, and I thought it would be something very nice for us in our devotion tonight and setting our hearts right for prayer. So Psalm 111 and verse 1. Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He has given food to those who fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He has declared to his people the power of his works, in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of his hands are verity and justice. All his precepts are sure. They stand fast forever and ever. They are done in truth and uprightness. He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. Shall we just have a word of prayer? Our Father in heaven, as we read this psalm, we think about everything that is written in this wonderful book, the Bible, the Word of God. It has special meaning for us because we belong to you, Lord. This is your word, a God-breathed message right to our hearts. And the Spirit of God can use it and does use it to thrill our souls, to build us up in our most holy faith, to encourage us and deliver us from the darkness that abounds in this world today. Give us something to rejoice about in our souls. O our God, as we consider these few verses we've read and think about the mighty works of God, do we pray thee, seal it home to our hearts, and may we have many precious thoughts concerning your greatness and your love, and all you have done, all that you have recorded for ours, in this wonderful message you have for us. In the holy and precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we give thanks. Amen. I think at the very outset of this psalm, thoughts comes to mind of the wilderness wanderings of the children of Israel. The wilderness wanderings of the children of Israel. You've never been there. Some of you can't even imagine what it was like. That includes me. Because I think that is a one-time experience for the children of Israel. What they experienced there was the result of an act of disobedience. And I don't think there's anybody in this room today that names the name of Christ that in some place, somewhere, sometime, hasn't disobeyed the Lord. You might pride yourself on how a good person you've been and how you take very seriously the Word of God, but believe me, sometimes they're blind spots. And it's worthy of taking a good look at and determining in your heart that I'm going to have a note of praise in my heart for the Lord. Hallelujah is the word. And I'm going to praise the Lord with my whole heart. Have you ever heard people say, that person hasn't put their heart in this? I've heard so many people in the workplace say, his heart's not with us. Just detect that they just don't have the same interest in what is taking place that you do. To realize that we have been commissioned by our God to deliver a message to the world. I thought about that in connection with what we've been doing on Monday evening, and that is a wonderful start. And things are going to happen, I do believe that. We've seen evidence of moving, and some that I've talked with already. I'm excited about it. Well, that's wonderful. That's the way it should be. But it won't be long before you'll detect that some of them that are at those meetings, they have a greater heart interest in what's going on than others. And they're not as involved as others. Some seem to catch the spirit of what can be accomplished through doing the work of an evangelist and moving on and telling the wondrous story of Jesus and His love. You will detect that. You will discover that. Doesn't take much in the way of examination to discover some, their whole heart is wrapped up in this endeavor. And the psalmist, this is repeated over and over. I was just looking. Psalm 92 verse 4, For you, Lord, have made me glad through your works. I will triumph in the works of your hands. My heart is involved. I have set my heart to do what you've asked me to do. I'm going to give it my very best. You know, so often we're told, well, just do the best you can. Do the best you can. I think the Lord certainly might say that to some of us, because we can't do very much, and we don't have very much to offer, perhaps. There are degrees of I think, among God's people, those that have a tremendous gift for remembering the things of God. And they have a heart and soul that responds to the love of God. And they inspire you. Whereas others are more casual. And there's a difference. Well, I think this psalm, when it speaks to us about the Exodus, the wilderness wanderings, and the conquest of the promised land, and we're taking that up on Saturday morning in Joshua. And this psalm closes with that verse in Proverbs, which is kindred to that. It's the motto. The beginning of wisdom, indeed, is the fear of the Lord, a holy reverence for God. Sometimes you're kind of shocked when you're with people that don't have that holy reverence. They don't respect our God. In fact, they think very lightly of that, and they think that we that take it very seriously are foolish. That's just the way that is. It's always been that way, and it'll continue to be that way. The Brother Larry Price was telling us on the Lord's Day, Paul said, we're living in perilous times. He said, do you think they're here? Well, you look around today, and if you get out and you mingle much among people, and you want to say a little something for the Lord and be a witness for Him, you'll discover people, you don't meet too many people that are even interested. In fact, you're bothering them to even mention it. So you discover that pretty quick. But here, he's speaking about the assembly of God's people, the many gatherings that the Lord's people were brought together to worship and to praise and have a remembrance of all of the goodness of God and His works. I tell you, my mind, when I began to read this, my mind went back to creation. Mighty work of God. And yet, people today will readily tell you they don't believe that. You say, I believe God created everything. God is the holy creator. He's the only one that has the kind of power that can create what we see before us in the world today. Men strive to measure up, or by some way, somehow, they fake it a lot of times, but they just never have been able to measure up to what God has done in creation, creating life. Every time I read one of these articles and see some things about Charles Darwin and what he discovered and what he put down, and it really started a trend toward people saying, look, now we've got something to hold on to. It satisfies us in our souls and minds since we don't believe in God. You see, the whole thing is aimed at discrediting God and what He did. He didn't do this. He couldn't do this. But we can. Secular humanism today is just as bold in telling you we can do anything we want to do. Anything we set our minds to do, we can do it. And they're very, very sincere in what they have to say about those things. The works of the Lord. I think the mind of the psalmist here was aimed at those acts of redemption. Isn't that a mighty work? We could spend the rest of this whole afternoon, evening together just thinking about what God did to redeem our souls. You might say, how did that first come to the mind of God? Before the foundation of the world was ever laid, it was in the mind of God to do what He did in redeeming fallen mankind. And someone that is listening that doesn't know the Lord might say, well, what did He do? What's so wonderful about what He did? You mean you don't know? You don't know that His only begotten Son, the Son that delighted His heart, that He became a man, and He died upon a cross, according to the will, plans, and purposes of God? And He provided something in the way of a sacrifice that would move the heart of God to forgive a poor sinner? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You don't know that. You're not fully aware of what God has done in this mighty work of redeeming, bringing back to Himself lost mankind. Adam was a perfect man created by God. The Spirit of God was breathed into him. He was a perfect man, but sin marred all of that. And there's absolutely nothing that man could have ever done to correct that problem. What God did is a mighty work of God. It's so mighty and powerful. Our God is omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. What God does, His works, they are mighty indeed. And the psalmist would say, when I think about these works of God, indeed my heart is moved. Everything He ever did, the works of God are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. Someone would think if you spent a lot of time meditating upon that and enjoying that and finding reason to praise and thank God, said, you're wasting your time. How in the world can you find that much meaning and significance in something like that? Well, you just have to know the Lord. You have to know the power that was exercised in bringing about the saving of my soul and your soul, with no exception. But an unsaved person, a person that's dead in their trespasses and sins, wouldn't understand that, would they? No. The works of God are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. That delights my soul. Delight thyself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart and your soul. His work is honorable and glorious. And God doesn't share His glory with anyone. And His righteousness endures forever. His righteousness endures forever. It's unending. And that righteousness has been put to our account. Does that make you feel good? It's been put to your account. It's already recorded. God has acted sovereignly. We've been redeemed. The righteousness of God has now been put to our account, and now we are the redeemed of the Lord. And that's something to rejoice your heart and your soul. And that righteousness endures forever. He's made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. You know, I'm sure it's already come to your mind when you think about the remembrance of the Lord Jesus. And He said, do that in remembrance of Him. It's focused upon Him and what He did. He died upon a cross for our sins. And there again, the wisdom of God knew how we are prone to forget. And sometimes we get a little slack in our devotion to reading the Word and meditating upon it and remembering what God has done for us, remembering a Savior. You know, Brother just said here this evening, he said, you know, there's nothing funny about what happened on the cross. There's nothing funny about that. Lightheartedness when you're dealing with those things that bring righteousness within the grasp of mankind makes a poor lost sinner righteous, fit for the presence of God. That's something to rejoice about. And when you think about the world and wanting to be amused and wanting to be entertained, it's something over and beyond anything that the human mind can take in. Because we know eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. But by His Spirit, He has truly opened our hearts and souls to these things and made them something that is dear to our hearts. He has declared to His people the power of His works. Sometimes people boast about the power something that's developed for atomic warfare. Oh, the power there is awesome. Sometimes things that fascinate people, like things that roll down the highway, cars and things that fly through the air and all of this, power. the thrust that can be created, the speed that we can go at. God's power. That power is so awesome that the human mind cannot really take it in. The power that it took to deliver you and me from that awful state that we were in, dead in trespasses and sin. He raised us from the dead. You seen anybody do that lately? You seen anybody walking around through the cemetery and raising people from the dead? Have you seen anything like that? No. No. Well, I tell you, being spiritually dead and without Christ in your heart and alive unto God is far worse than any physical death you can think of. A man may die, but if he is a possessor of the eternal life and on his way to heaven, it's time to rejoice. Because he just left this earthly scene. He laid aside his corruptible body, and flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And he's gone to be with the Lord. That's wonderful. And that's something worthy of being remembered. The power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. And we've looked at Joshua and we're looking at it. And we're seeing the people of God with God in it. And he's going before them and He's taking the enemy and he's taking the land for them. It's God's battles in which he exercises his power and his authority. And what he says he'll do, he does. The works of his hands are verity and justice. There's truth. Truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. I would stake my life upon the truthfulness of the Word of God. I believe every word in the Word of God. I believe everything that he has said is truth. And the best person you've ever known may be somebody in your family, may be someone you love. But I guarantee you, sometime during life somewhere, they probably slipped up and didn't tell the truth. And sometimes people can live a lie. You may think there's something that you see, but you don't really see what they are. They're living a lie. Not so with God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. All his precepts are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. You may have the word reverend there. I remember I heard Vernon McGee one time when he was reading this passage. He said, some men have adopted a name in the Bible that doesn't belong to them. I didn't know at first what he was fixing to say. He said, holy and reverend is the name of God. He said, I won't take that name. Well, he was Dr. McGee. He was a theologian. But he said, I wouldn't take that name, reverend. That's God's name. I don't want to step in the breach and put myself in a position where it ever appears that I'm usurping any authority and giving the people that I'm in contact with that I'm at some level of spirituality that I'm really not. You know what that is? That's hypocrisy. And I don't like that name, Reverend. Many men, they're referred to as Reverend. Right, Reverend. Holy and awesome is his name. And then this 10th verse is that closing out of what we have in Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Any man that doesn't have any respect for the Word of God and the person of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is a fool. He doesn't have any reverence, any respect for God. He's a fool. He's made a horrible misjudgment. And he'll pay a very high price for his folly. But that person that has his eyes open responds to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what these meetings that they're having on Monday evening are all about. Getting us involved in telling others this wonderful story of God's love and grace in the person of Christ. That's the beginning of wisdom. When your eyes are opened and you begin to get a grasp of things that are important. This is important. More important than anything perhaps I'll do all day long. Do the will of God. Go out into the highways and byways. Sow the seed. Say fruit from your labor. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. You've arrived. You're on the right track. And the kind of wisdom that you possess, the understanding that you have of God, His will and His way, it's the right way. No question in my mind, but this glorious God that we have taken and believed and have trusted with the salvation of our souls, the works that He has accomplished, they transcend our comprehension. But I think it's wonderful to dwell upon them. And to spend time meditating upon them, remembering what He has done. The children of Israel, they suffered a lot because they forgot. Let's don't forget. Let's remember what God has shared with us in His Word.